In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Indeed, it says there that no one can serve two masters, but it doesn't stop us from trying. And really, the truth is that we somehow try and rationalize in our heads how it is that we can actually serve two masters. I mean, think about a person who might have two jobs, and there are plenty of people that have either two part-time jobs, or even a full-time job and a part-time job, or two full-time jobs. And we think that that is evidence that indeed, it's possible you can serve two masters. But the key understanding here is what it means to serve. As Jesus goes on, he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. Serving does not mean simply doing a job. Serving means doing it gladly, doing it willingly, doing it because you want to do it. And the truth is that many of us in the various vocations in this world, we don't do them willingly. We don't do them because we enjoy them. We do them because we have to. And so really what we're talking about here is what we gladly and willingly serve, what we want to do. That's what it means to be a servant. Doing something not out of obligation, but rather doing it because you have the desire to do it. And of course the context here, as Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Or money. What does it mean to serve money? Obviously, when we talk about serving money, we're not talking about it the same way that we serve God. It's not like we bow down to it and worship it. It's not like we expect, maybe we do, expect all good from it. Ah, there's the problem. You see, as Luther writes in his large catechism, when we talk about what makes a god and an idol, it is that thing that we look to for all comfort and security. It is that thing that we look to, that we put our fear, our love, and our trust into, that thing that we cannot live without. So we think. If you look at the psalm that's appointed for today from Psalm 146, verse 3, this actually incidentally was also the psalm appointed just a few Sundays ago, same psalm. Verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish." Put not your trust in princes. There's so much angst today in the world of politics. We're constantly searching for that one good person that's going to either rescue us, or we're constantly trying to point out that if this person or that person becomes elected to this or that office or appointed to this or that office, surely it's the end of the world as we know it. See, it works both ways. Either we think and we trust that this person is going to deliver us from all evil, or we think and we trust that this person will surely bring about the end of the world as we know it. Put not your trust in princes. Why? Because they're here today and gone tomorrow. They're fickle. They're human. These are the gods that we have. These are the things that we put our trust into. But of course, Jesus talks more specifically even here about mammon, about money. And the thing is, we look to money for all good. What is the thing that we will fall all over ourselves if we don't have it? Or if we see that there's more to be had? It's money. Because we think in our heads, if we don't have enough, how will we know that we'll have enough money to retire? How will we know that we have enough money in order to put food on the table? How will we know that we have enough money to buy clothes for ourselves? We worry about these things, thinking that somehow we're not going to make it. Too often we go too easy on the idea of worrying. We think that it's natural, that it's necessary. But no, worrying is idolatry. It's idolatry. You want the answer to what is your idol? Then you answer the question of what are you worried about? Are you worried about money? That's your idol. Repent. God provides these things for you. Jesus says it right there. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he goes into this illustration of the birds of the air. How silly it is to think about birds going out into the field with a sickle to cut off the tops of the grain heads so they can eat it. They don't have to do that. God just feeds them. And what about those lilies of the field? They're beautiful. God makes them that way. It's not like they have to work to look that way. No, God provides for them. And why does he do it? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And why does he do this? The answer is in the next line. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. That's it. God provides it for you. But yet we worry about these things, wondering, are we going to have enough? But the thing is, even if we had all of that stuff, even if we had more than enough, had it all stored away, and a lifetime supply of everything, lifetime supply of money, guess what? When you die, it's gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. As Jesus says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, that's what happens to all the things of this world. It gets thrown into the oven. It's gone at the end. You can't do anything with it. So don't worry. Don't be anxious. Rather, seek after the things of God. Seek to hear his word, which grants you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation won in Jesus Christ. Trust that God indeed will provide for you. Why? Because he's promised to do it. Look, he takes care of the birds of the field. He takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. You have nothing to worry about. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of that itself. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek his forgiveness for the times that you have turned the things of this world into idols. And all these things will be added to you. This morning in Bible class, we read the account of King David's fall into sin with Bathsheba. And when Nathan comes to confront him for his sin, when Nathan, David's pastor, comes to him and confronts him for his sin, Nathan tells him and recounts for him all the things that God has done for him. He's given him this entire kingdom. He's given him all these wives. He's given him all this property. And if that weren't enough, God would give him even more. The same is true for you. God gives you all that you need. He gives you the most important thing that you need first of all. He gives you his righteousness. For that righteousness was won by Christ on the cross and credited to you in your baptism and continues to be given to you in God's holy word and sacraments. But he also gives you all the other things in life too. Clothing, shoes, food, drink. You heard the list earlier. So what do? You don't serve the money. Rather, you make the money serve you. You tell it to go do things. You tell it to go and love your neighbor. You tell it to clothe those who are less fortunate than you. You tell it to feed the hungry. You tell it to go and declare the excellencies of God to those who haven't heard. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.